Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. This will be our first Tuesday of Michael Fabiano, so all things around fantasy football. We have been doing Michael Fabiano the last 4 years. When I first started this company, it was very clear to me that fantasy football and gambling were the two main reasons why the NFL was such a big deal. It was becoming less, and it has since we even started doing this 5 years ago now, it's becoming less and less about the result of the game on Sunday, and more people are into the fantasy world. And you have over 60 million Americans that play fantasy football. You're looking for advice, and Michael Fabiano, one of the best in the business, he'll be with us today. But we'll do that, and we'll do Jimmy Vaccaro this week. I think we should start Jimmy this week. The wisest of the wise guys from Las Vegas. He'll start popping up on ESPN, I'm sure, this week. So that's my whole thing is let's bring this to what it really is. It's the entertainment side of it. The wins, losses, who's the best blocker and tackler, that's like this many people. So we'll have that.
Because, you know, I'm all about full disclosure.
Yeah.
On this show.
Sure.
And even when you're right, I don't like to admit it, but I was thinking about something the other day that kind of made me chuckle.
And what is that?
4 years ago, you said, hey, there's this guy at the NFL Network you should try to track down. He does fantasy football. Okay. Track him down. Next week, hey, he was pretty good. What would you think about doing a weekly fantasy football segment on the show? And as I rolled around on the ground laughing, thinking, oh, it's crazy. Why would we ever do a fantasy football show? Yeah, you were right.
But, you know, there's times
and
where
you know I hate it when
I know,
when right.
I know. Well, the thing is, there's times when we've seen this through the years.
You're
right?
A visionary.
Well, maybe. We'll find out. The thing on it is, Eric, there's things that we've done in this show that have completely blown up, too, that haven't done well, which is fine. The whole point of it is if you don't take risks, if all you do is this is how it's been done forever – if this is how it's been done where you and I worked at previous television and radio stations, and both of them are just flailing at this point, hanging on, that's not where the industry is going.
And the industry is going to continue to evolve. So I wonder what the next pivot is in terms of what's going to be the next big thing around the corner, like fantasy football was 3-4 years ago.
Well, is fantasy football going to disappear?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But remember last year, a year ago at this time, DraftKings was everywhere, right? I mean, everywhere was DraftKings and...
FanDuel?
FanDuel, right. So, and now I'm struggling to remember FanDuel. So... And everybody, oh, you got to do DraftKings and FanDuel. No, you just have to do your standard league or your 16-team league or whatever it is and understand that people are not coming to you saying, what did you think about the play of Evan Mathis in Sunday's game? They don't do that in large numbers. So when you want to be the guy that has everything about Evan Mathis, you're talking to, like, I don't know, his family and friends. Does it impact how David Johnson is able to run the football? I guess you could make that correlation. If your line stinks, you're not going to be able to have somebody who runs the football. I get it. But by and large, people are now to the point where things like Twitter and DVRs make it so you don't have to sit around for 3 hours and watch a game. You don't have to go to an antique radio and listen to a game. That stuff's gone. You can go find it wherever you want.
And when it comes to fantasy football, I think you hit the nail on the head again. There's so many different tiers of fantasy football.
Yeah.
12-team league, 8-team league, 16-team league, offense only.
PPR.
PPR. Yeah. And everybody plays, you know.
Everybody plays.
Except for me. People have 2, 3, 4 teams.
I have a kid in my class at ASU that I'm teaching who told me on opening, first day of class, he has 12 fantasy teams. Okay, so, and that's like Fabiano-esque. Like, Michael's got a bunch.
Oh,
so, Michael,
gosh.
Be with us from the NFL Network. We'll check in with Michael Fabiano here in a few minutes. Yeah, so, the Cardinals, I want to start with the Cardinals today because Kaepernick, Rodney Harrison said something along the lines of, he's not black enough. You know, I'll use the exact quote later in the show. You know, we're getting to the point with Kaepernick where, are there going to be other players that decide to sit? and not stand during the anthem? Of course there's going to be. Is it going to happen on college sidelines? Of course it will. Is it going to happen in high schools? It probably will there as well. And will high schools take disciplinary measure? Will coaches have their say and try to impose their belief system on a 17-year-old? Should that 17-year-old give in to said coach if the kid wants to sit? Is it disrespectful? Is our country falling apart at the seams? Or are we standing up for our liberties and our rights? All of this is fair game and fair conversation. But when I start getting into the, well, what ethnicity is Colin Kaepernick really? I mean, that's just over the top, I think, on this. It's kind of like those that feel as though the president hasn't done a good job because of his racial background, that that's the reason. Race always seems to come into play with some people. I've had some friends that I've had to disassociate with because they always go to race. I've never seen color at all in my life, but people through the years bring it up. Even my wife this morning, we're having this conversation about how social media has made everything so toxic when it comes to race. The great Gene Wilder passed away yesterday, and there was a scene in the movie Blazing Saddles that I thought was pretty funny that had to do with race that I was going to put up on my social media profile. A little voice inside of me said, you know, the minute you do that, you're going to get a chuckle, but you're going to have the people that just want to find something to bitch about. And I just decided not to do it. So I gave in. I was kind of beating myself up this morning because it was a pretty funny scene. That sucked about Gene Wilder. We should have put Gene Wilder. Can we find some Gene Wilder, Jared? It's the scene where he's in the jailhouse and the sheriff is with him. And he said, there's two things that I like to do. And those of you that know this scene are already laughing. That's what I want. It's only like 20 seconds. But see if you can find it as the show progresses. So I want to get over to the Cardinals. I've got some college stuff before we get to Michael. And we'll get to Fabiano here in a few minutes. Based on what we've seen in preseason, there is the, well, remember the Diamondbacks weren't any good. Yeah, I got it. And Fitz last week reminded people of teams that haven't been good in preseason. This is one of those tired narratives that happen in August. So I'm going to, every August, if a team stinks in August, it's like, well, look at what this team did years ago. And, you know, revisionist history and all that stuff. And you guys don't want to hear that. I would much rather go through the season and just say W or L based on what we've seen right now. So they're going to open the season with the Patriots. I'm calling a loss in that opening game. Eric, where you at?
Oh, I hate playing this game, but there's a part of me that loves it. I'm going to say win.
I've got them at 0-1. You've got them at 1-0. Buccaneers, they'll be 1-1.
Win.
At Buffalo, they'll be 1-2.
Win.
So you got them 3-0, huh?
If the game was in late December in Buffalo, it might be different.
Home against the Rams.
Loss.
I'm going to call a narrow win on that one.
The Cardinals have problems with the Rams.
Todd Gurley is going to give everybody problems. At San Francisco, that game will be ugly because that game's usually ugly, but they'll win that game.
Win.
Jets, home,
win.
Monday night, it's a win.
Yep.
Then they have the Seahawks 6 days later at home, loss.
I agree, loss.
At Carolina the following week.
I agree, loss.
That is a afternoon game, though. If it were a morning game, I'd say loss. I'm going to give them that game. I'm going to give them a win in that game. 49ers at home.
Win.
So you've got them sweeping the 49ers, as do I.
How many games have we gone through? I think they're at, what, 6-3, 7-3 right now?
Yeah, you're at 7-3. I've got them at 6-4. At the Vikings, they'll lose that game. It's a morning kick.
Agree.
They'll be 6-5. Then they turn right back around, and they have to go all the way to Atlanta.
That's a win. Atlanta's not good.
Atlanta's not good, but back-to-back long trips. Well, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, they didn't play well. Remember the last time they were in Atlanta? They were just putrid. They were awful. I'll give them a win on that one.
But they won.
Washington at home.
Win.
At Miami. 11 a.m. start at Miami.
Tough one. I got that as a loss.
I've got that as a loss. Home to the Saints, they'll win. At Seattle, Christmas Eve, they'll lose. At the Rams on New Year's Day, loss.
Agree.
Loss. I don't see 13-3. Carson got smoked the other day.
Well, it all comes down to number three. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I don't like to simplify things, but that's just as simplified as you can get.
My point is we've had this whole off season where we've heard about all or nothing, which has been the slogan of the Cardinals, in my view, since the 40s. All or nothing. What do we have here? I think we have a team that can get to the Super Bowl. I think that they make the playoffs, but this whole 14-2, 13-3 stuff, please put down the pom-poms. I just don't see it.
Because they're going to have easy games that they're just not going to play well in, and they may win, they may lose. Like when they played in Cleveland for a half, that was a really ugly game.
You're right.
And in the second half, they blew them out, but there are just times during the season you're not going to play your best football 16 straight
weeks.
They
got lucky last year. They played the Bears early in the season because John Fox had just taken over and the Bears were just awful. But if you played the Bears late in the season, it would have been a different game in my view. This year, you've got Bill Belichick, who's had all offseason to plan for them. And, Bill Belichick in the entire offseason, what does he see out of Carson Palmer? Carson wasn't good again. The quarterback play hasn't been good. And if they lose on Sunday night to Tom Brady-less New England, I guarantee you there's going to be panic in the streets around here. I guarantee you. So, Michael Fabiano's next. We're going to do some fantasy football with Michael because you got to get your fantasy team ready. I'm going to ask him about a bunch of the Cardinal players, some basic questions. What about Dak Prescott? Dak Prescott's like everybody's love child now because of Tony Romo. That's on the other side with Michael Fabiano. We'll do some college football later in the show as well. And Tim Tebow works out. We'll get into that too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to talk fantasy football. As always, good to catch up with Michael Fabiano, the NFL Network, and of course, senior fantasy analyst, the Hall of Famer, year number 4, I believe now for us. And Tony Romo right off the top. If you had your draft in the last month, Michael's words of wisdom, day number 1 is don't hold your draft too early. Now you've held your draft, you took Tony Romo. What are you going to do, Michael? What are your suggestions to those who have Romo?
The good thing is that Romo wasn't being drafted as someone who was a QB1. He was a late round pick. And as it pertains to Dez Bryant, I really don't think it has a massive effect on him. It hurts him a little bit, but to the point where I've moved Brandon Marshall, Allen Robinson, AJ Green ahead of him, but he's still a number one fantasy wide receiver, even with Dak Prescott under center, who, oh, by the way, has looked awesome in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I know it's just the preseason, but I kind of like what I saw from Prescott, and I like the fact that he can run with the football, and I like the fact that he's got a great offensive line in front of him, and he's got a very favorable schedule. So does it hurt Dez, Jason Witten, Ezekiel Elliott to lose a starting quarterback? Yeah, I mean, of course it does. But it's not a detriment to their values. Let's just put it that way, at least not to me.
Flip it around then on quarterbacks you're seeing, and because you're doing all these drafts, you're seeing all this information coming to the NFL Network. Quarterbacks that if somebody did take Romo and they're not that main guy, you're saying, here's somebody that's got a good set here for the first 4-6 weeks you may want to take a run at. Who would those guys be, Michael?
Dak Prescott. I know people are going to think I'm insane, but when you're a quarterback who can run with the football behind a great offensive line with an elite wide receiver and what projects to be an elite running back behind you, you're in a good position to succeed. I mean, they play the Giants in the first week. Yeah, the Cowboys have a very favorable schedule based on fantasy points for quarterbacks and for running backs and wide receivers as well. And I can promise you right now, even though he's a rookie, when you get to the week one rankings for quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Prescott's going to be in the top 12 because of who he's playing. And I know the Giants did a lot of offseason work in terms of trying to improve their defense, but still, this could be a high-scoring game. In terms of guys who you're looking at off the waiver wire who may or may not still be out there, it's probably pretty tough. A Brock Osweiler could be someone you're looking to pick up. They're playing the Bears, and their defense is not very good.
Right.
So Maybe you're looking at a Joe Flacco going up against the Buffalo Bills, but I don't know that there's one quarterback in particular that you're going to pick up to replace Romo, because number one, you're not replacing Romo as your starter because you probably didn't draft him to be your starter. But number two, there's so many good quarterbacks right now, you can pick up and stream guys for as long as you need a quarterback. And I think this is more of a case for those who drafted someone like Tom Brady. Because, again, Romo was not drafted unless you're in a big league. I'm talking 16 teams where Romo is a starter. This isn't going to be something that fantasy owners are going to be faced with, luckily.
Let's go through booms or busts then, because I'm getting this asked about quarterbacks in all different ways. Mm-hmm. Like, does Michael think Dalton's going to have a good year, Kirk Cousins or Taylor's? So let's go boom or bust Andy Dalton this season.
See, now, boom or bust, to me, neither. Because Andy Dalton's going off the board in the 14th or 15th round. So he's not going to be a bust because you drafted him really late. And if he doesn't play well, you just cut him. He's, to me, a closer to a top 12 fantasy quarterback than he is to a guy who's in the 15 to 20 range. So if you want to call him a boom, I guess you could do that. But I kind of like the value because people are not drafting him highly. I know he lost a lot of weapons, and we don't know if Tyler Eifert will be back in week 4, week 6, whatever the case may be. But Dalton's still a pretty good quarterback, and I like him late.
Kirk Cousins this season.
Here's the thing about Cousins. When the matchup is right, he's going to be really good for you. When the matchup is poor and he's playing against a defense that could rush the passer, there's going to be some stinkers in there. Again, though, same thing with Andy Dalton to, I guess, a little bit of a lesser degree. He's getting drafted late. So he's certainly worth taking a chance on if you're getting him in the 12th round. He's got great weapons around him. He's got a pretty favorable schedule. So do I expect him to go off like he did at the end of last year and put up 20 points a game? Obviously, that's not going to happen. But, again, a good quarterback with a good schedule who you can get late.
Getting questions about the sleeper running backs, and these are people that know that you're coming on. So Christine Michael up in Seattle with Rawls being out, big numbers here in preseason. What do you think?
So I talked to Michael Robinson, who's a good buddy of mine, used to play for the Seahawks, and has definitely has his ear to the ground there in the Great Northwest. And I've talked to him about this because he knows much better than I would. Mm-hmm. And he tells me Thomas Rawls is the guy. And you know what? Christian Michael has looked great in the preseason. Let's see him do it in the regular season. He looked good at the end of last year, in the playoffs a little bit. Is there a chance he's going to put a dent into Rawls' touches? Yeah, because Rawls is not a great pass catcher, number one. And number two, C.J. Prosize has been banged up and hasn't really done anything in the preseason. So I still like Rawls. I draft him as an RB2. If you're in a 10-team league, he's probably going to be off the board in the 5th round, 6th round, maybe as much as the 4th round in a 12-team league. But I'm projecting Rawls to be the leader in that backfield, based at least partially on what I've heard from Mike Robb.
Getting a lot of questions about Denver's quarterback situation, what to do early in the season. What's your strategy?
Thank God Mark Sanchez is a player I don't have to talk about anymore. But you know what's gonna happen. He's going to end up getting cut or something like that, and then like the Cowboys will pick him up, and I'm going to be miserable. Because I've never been a fan of Mark Sanchez. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. He's a lousy fantasy quarterback outside of 1 year, which was an outlier because he rushed for about 6 touchdowns. But Trevor Siemian's the guy. And I don't think you can downgrade or upgrade Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders based on whoever the quarterback was going to be. Siemian, heck, we don't know too much about him. We're going to find out about him quick. But I do know one thing. The Broncos are going to run the ball a lot. C.J. Anderson is going to break out this year. As long as he can stay on that football field, he's the guy. Forget about Booker. Forget about Hillman, who may not even make the team. I like C.J. Anderson a lot. Demaryius is a 2 now. Typically, we go into seasons, and he's a top 5 wide receiver. He's just not because of the quarterback position. He's just not. But he's not going to be a complete bust if you draft him accordingly. If you draft him in the 2nd round to be your 1, you're in trouble. If you draft him in the 3rd or 4th round to be your 2, you're fine. Emmanuel Sanders, same thing. Not going to be a 2 this year. Can you draft him as a 3 or a 4? Yeah, absolutely. The Broncos didn't get great quarterback play last year. I mean, Peyton Manning was, I know he won a Super Bowl, but he was not good last year. Whether it was health or whatever the case may be, he wasn't good. Osweiler came in and played fine, but he wasn't great. It wasn't like he was playing at an elite level. These guys still can put up numbers, but you have to temper your expectations. And as far as any Broncos quarterback, you're not drafting any of them. Siemian may be a DFS play. He may be a potential matchup-based starter once the bye weeks start, but in terms of having any standalone fantasy value in redrafts, I just don't see it.
Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network, of course, senior fantasy analyst with us. The Cardinals, the logjam at wide receiver, David Johnson, a terrific running back. How much fantasy do you put on your team from Arizona's offense? More than one guy? Break it down for us. Getting a lot of questions about
that,
Michael.
There's a lot to like. I mean, how can you not like? So, first of all, Carson Palmer, I know he didn't really have a great final preseason game. I don't care. In his last 22 games regular season under Bruce Arians, he's averaged like 18 fantasy points a game. It's really good. And you can get him middle to late rounds in some leagues. David Johnson, I love this kid. Not only as an NFL player and a fantasy star, but he's a good dude, too. Mm-hmm. He was out here in L.A. Weeks ago for the Arizona Cardinals Amazon release, and just couldn't be a nicer guy. And I have him ranked in my top. He's going to be a first-round pick without question, and he's probably going to be one of the first four or five running backs drafted, and in PPR leagues, he's probably going to be the first one drafted. Now, the wide receiver position, Fitzgerald was the best guy from a fantasy perspective last year, and he was the third guy drafted out of John Brown, Floyd, and Fitz. I would take Floyd number one if I had to rank Cardinal wide receivers, and then John Brown two and Fitzgerald three, but they're all really close. Like, they're all in that sort of that high-end three situation. That's all that you can really draft them as, too, because you would think targets are sort of going to be dispersed, maybe not evenly, but there's other options, and we've also got to check on John Brown, who's dealing with a little bit of some issues with
concussions
and injuries in the preseason, right? So we'll see what happens, but all three guys very draftable. I mean, I've heard Troy Nicholas's name brought up. I mean, the last time the Cardinals had a good fantasy tight end was like Freddie Jones. It's been a long time. So I don't know if I'm going there with that. Cardinals defense is also almost always very good, and Chandler Cannizzaro, pretty good fantasy kicker as well. We're talking kickers. See, we're really getting close to the regular season. But the Cardinals do have a whole heck of a lot to like from a fantasy perspective. I would expect there to be five Cardinals picked in just about every single draft, and maybe five Cardinals picked in the first 10 rounds.
Good season ahead. Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, my friend. Take care.
So, the Colin Kaepernick story yesterday dominated headlines. I actually talked more on the show yesterday than I wanted to about it. Talked about it in my class last night, 50 college students over at Arizona State. They were all talking about it. And I was going to stay away from it, and then Rodney Harrison surfaced this morning. So Rodney Harrison, I like him on NBC because I do think he says things that are interesting when it comes to breaking down X's and O's. Not when it comes down to breaking race. Rodney Harrison, this morning in Houston, said when asked about Kaepernick's refusal to stand for the national anthem, Rodney Harrison said, quote, "I can tell you this, I'm a black man, and Colin Kaepernick, he's not black. He cannot understand what I face and what every other young black man and black people face or people of color face on an every single day basis. When you walk in a grocery store and you might have $2,000 or $3,000 in your pocket and you go up into a Foot Locker and they're looking at you like you're about to steal something." And the host asked Harrison to elaborate on his claim that Kaepernick is not black and is therefore not qualified to stage such a protest. Harrison said, "I'm not saying that he has to be black. I said his heart is in the right place, but even with what he's doing, he still doesn't understand what we face as a black man or people of color. That's what I'm saying." Harrison, by the way, later apologized, although he didn't say if he understands if Colin Kaepernick is black or not. So
Colin Kaepernick started the fire, and now we're getting the people that are continuing to dump gasoline on the fire. The story is not going to go away because you're going to hear from more people like Rodney Harrison, because everyone has an opinion on what happened Friday night. Everyone.
Yeah, sure.
Right, wrong, positive, negative. Everyone has a take of some sort about what Cap did.
A hot take. Everybody's got a hot take.
I've never said that ever on the show.
Let's have the hot take with Skip Bayless. Let's have the hot take with Colin Cowherd. And then let's move their shows around because nobody's watching. How many promos? How many?
Sounds personal.
I was watching the Cardinals. I actually shouldn't say watching. I was zipping through the DVR of meaningless preseason football.
Best invention ever.
With notepad in hand when I saw something that was interesting, okay?
Right along with the first down marker.
The first down marker was very good. No, that's true.
Little line.
And the number of promos for that show, those two shows, man alive.
Let's pump it.
We gotta just pump that bad boy up. I guess. So.
Yeah.
Which is fine. A hot take. We have a guest with a hot take today. Got it. I like Rodney Harrison, but somebody from NBC had to have called him and said,
hey, about what you said,
morning. Hey, how's your day going?
That comes out. People are immediately summoned to the large boardroom with notepad and pen. Man. Okay, so how can we spin this?
We have some damage control to do today with one of our main talent.
By the way, just a completely quick non-sports hot take.
Yeah.
Did you see Anthony Weiner and his wife are getting divorced?
I saw Anthony Weiner sitting there with his son with a picture, and he was making sure that his Anthony Weiner was in full display.
Embattled politician.
Just
great
like,
documentary, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
I was like, come on, dude, really? That's what you're going to do? Lay there
so
with your
predictable.
Kid?
It's so predictable.
Jim Brown.
You were a scumbag like five different times. It wasn't like you were just a scumbag once.
Jim Brown is 100% supporting Kaepernick. Of course he is. So what we're going to have is Brad Susmat supports Eric Sorensen. Jared Nielsen supports Eric Sorensen. Jared Cohen does not support Eric Sorensen. This is what makes headlines. This is what is people have got to have a hot take. And we got to click on something today. Man, our numbers are low. What are we going to do? We're going to put another Colin Kaepernick story up on our homepage. Another hot take. Dee Dallas passed away today in a car accident. I was very sad about that. Those of you that know your college football, Dee Dallas was at Air Force and was a terrific option quarterback and finished sixth in the Heisman Trophy. Actually, it was sixth when he was with the year of Ty Detmer, if I remember correctly. So that happened today as well. On the college football front, we almost got spoofed this morning. There was a picture that Eric sent me on my way into work of some U of A supposed uniforms that looked like they were out of Mork and Mindy, to borrow a 70s expression.
That's a great analogy. It's not even worth putting the picture up if you're watching on the stream because it was just like a mashup that someone did of combining U of A football uniforms with U of A band uniforms.
But, you know, I think it was probably some ASU troll.
I don't know. Maybe.
It is somebody that, because they do that sort of thing. It goes both ways. I'm not just picking on ASU people here. That people think it's very entertaining to go back and forth. And I don't know. It's part of the deal. But U of A is playing BYU on Saturday night. I think it's going to be a very good game. I'm actually considering going as a fan. I have tickets to go to this game. And they're really good seats, too. But regardless, I never go as a fan. It's just somebody called me and said, we want you to come with us. And so the question on U of A is, will it be Brandon Dawkins or will it be Anu Solomon at quarterback? Here's Rich Rodriguez. This was last night, on where he is with his quarterback for game one.
Anu and Brandon have separated from the other guys, but they've both gotten better. I consider, certainly Anu's a starter, and he's been a starter for a couple years, but Brandon has progressed to the point where we consider him as a starter as well. Now, only one can take the snap going out, and stay tuned for Saturday night to find out who that is. But right now, and we haven't even talked about it as a staff, but I wouldn't hesitate to play both of them. Both of them probably will play.
Okay, so both of them will probably play. That's about as far as he's going to go. I watched that press conference last night, and he goes into further depth that, yeah, I know who it's going to be, and you guys are all worked up about it. It's the first game. It's kind of like where you're at ASU. So we have been saying here on this show since March that it's going to be Manny Wilkins to start and that they will probably rotate Manny Wilkins and Brady White. We had thrown Bryce Perkins in there and then he got hurt, okay? But I believe that there's some political reasons why you have to play Brady White. That's just my own opinion on this. So every day I see people online trying to go down the line of the latest on the quarterback, the latest five things that we can have on the quarterback, when it's really not that hard to figure out on this one. I think the stunner would be is if Todd said Brady White's going to be our guy and Manny's not going to play.
I don't think you're going to get any real official announcement. Yeah, the whispers have been Manny Wilkins, but I can almost guarantee, because this isn't Todd Graham's first rodeo.
Yeah,
both those quarterbacks are going to play, because he wants Cliff Kingsbury to guess who's going to be the quarterback a week from Saturday,
Texas
when
Tech.
You go from playing a Big Sky team to playing a Big 12 team. Much different.
We should get Cliff Kingsbury on the show next week.
I thought of that.
I'm actually interested in that game.
Oh, of course.
For early season. Because, like, this weekend... Okay,
that'll be a 4-hour and 37-minute game.
Easy it will be. No, you're right. But, like, this weekend, okay, so we have Alabama and SC, and you think that's going to be a blowout. You don't even think that's going to be a game.
Like, I mean, I've just heard so much about it that I'm disinterested in watching it.
Show, what are you talking about?
There are so many other games I'd rather watch.
Like?
Notre Dame, Texas.
Texas blows?
Last year they did.
Texas blows.
But do you really want to watch Alabama beat up on another non-conference team?
Yes. It's a Pac-12 team within the division of Arizona State. I want to see how they do. Like, I'll watch UCLA, Texas A&M.
Do you want to make a lunch bet on Saturday's game? Saturday night? I think Alabama's going to win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Okay, that's not a bet. Alabama's going to kill them.
Okay, so why are we watching it again?
Because it's USC. I want to see if USC can give them a game, but I don't think they're going to be able to.
You just said that they're going to kill them.
They're going to kill them. In my opinion, I could be wrong.
I don't think you're going to be wrong, Brad.
You never think I'm wrong. What are you talking about? Rip me on this one. Were you going to watch UCLA, Texas A&M?
Sometimes I'm speechless.
Because? What about Georgia, North Carolina?
That's an intriguing
game. I think that's an interesting game.
I think UCLA A&M is a must-watch Saturday. I think the best game to watch...
Oklahoma-Houston.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Notre Dame doesn't do anything for me. I'm not Catholic. I didn't go to Notre Dame. I don't care about their gold helmets. I don't care about their history. I don't care about their tradition. There. When Notre Dame decides to play Michigan again, I will watch. That's one of those that should never have gone away, and it did. And I'm one of those traditionalists in that regard.
I still think that's a measuring stick game for Texas. But see, I have Big 12 bias. So, of course, I am more interested in watching OU Houston than I am watching Alabama and SC.
Just so you guys know how this works here, I get this email from Eric that just says, I'm going to be off these weekends.
I believe the regards was leaving on a jet airplane.
Leaving on a jet airplane. Yep. And it was like 3 weekends where he's just gone. Like, yeah. Jared Nielsen never does that.
For
Jared
a combined
Cohen
what,
never
like,
does
I think
that.
I'm taking 2 days off.
Never does that. And you're just going to watch TCU games.
Of course. Yeah. That's what,
like,
I do.
Like, if you're saying, I'm taking my wife to Lake Tahoe because we have this great job that pays me millions of dollars, and I'm going to go up to Telluride or something. But instead, you're going to go to watch TCU. Who are they playing?
If this job paid me millions of dollars, do you really think I'd be sitting in the seat talking to you right now?
Absolutely.
They're playing Arkansas.
Who? Of course I want to go see Arkansas.
Of course. Oh, we got to go see the SEC. But you're all into Alabama on Saturday. We got to watch the SEC.
Texas A&M.
But when Eric goes to watch Arkansas TCU, I get ripped on. Why?
I'm not ripping on you. I'm merely
ripping on me.
I'm pointing out that your decorum.
Sarcastically pointing out, yes.
Your decorum on this is, I'm out of here to go watch college football.
Look, Brad, I'm a creature of habit. I've been doing the same thing for 5 years. You act like this. Like, you should expect this email at the end of August every year.
I should expect this email like in July, June.
There's no college football.
I have to have. Hey, I'm putting in a request on my form. Through the computer system.
Our form is an email.
Let me check the dates
it's
that
an
are
email blast.
Open.
That's all it is.
It's a blast. I'm out of here.
There are no blackout dates at sports360ac.com.
Right. No, but here's the thing on the SEC, in all seriousness.
Okay.
So they're playing these games that I think are interesting this weekend.
They are.
But when it comes November and Alabama's playing Furman, because they schedule these crap games late in the year.
Or Charleston Southern, who I watched over the weekend because I'm addicted to college football.
I mean, they're going to play these games. Like, it's great that Ole Miss is playing Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. Monday night, Ole Miss, Florida State, I'm there, I'm watching.
Only game on.
But is the SEC, doing this to send the message to these voters on the committee. Look at us. We play these great big bad games, and our conference is a big bad conference. And then as the season progresses, they just kind of drill down, and really there's maybe four teams that are any good in the SEC, and the rest of them are not. And then they have these joke of a games in November, but the committee's like, oh, I remember the start of the year. I saw Alabama against USC. They must be good.
Well, and the SEC bias is always going to – as long as Alabama keeps winning national championships, everyone's going to jump on the SEC bandwagon.
But see, that's why I want USC to win. I don't think they're going to. Okay, I want UCLA to win. I would like to see the Pac-12 come out and start strong. Next week when ASU plays Texas Tech, I get it. It's not Alabama. It's not even TCU, Arkansas. It's a nice intersectional matchup. But I would like to see some of these games go in a direction to get the shift to come to the West a little bit more. Last year when ASU was picked by guys like Kirk Herbstreit to be in the Final Four, and then they end up losing more than winning, that does nothing at all for the programs out here in the West. Does nothing for them. So I have a little Pac-12 bias. I don't know if the conference is very good or not. Josh Rosen gets a lot of run, but the rest of UCLA's team is, it's okay.
Well, judging from what the so-called experts are saying, it's not going to be a great year for the Pac-12. Most have zero in the college football playoff.
Yeah, but it's the same guys that had ASU in as a Final Four team last year.
True, but do you look at the Pac-12 and do you really see a Final Four team? I don't.
Well, I don't as I sit here right now, but what I don't see across the country is a program that, yeah, is Alabama simply reloading? Sure they are. Is Ole Miss, because they had so many losses and stuff off the field, are they not going to be any good? Is Clemson, with a really good quarterback, going to be solid and able to push Alabama? I don't know these things.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you come back and you have a good quarterback, you're already ahead of the game.
So I think Washington is a good sleeper this year.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a good team to look at and say, you know, Washington, Christian McCaffrey is a very good player at Stanford that I will watch. I'll be interested in how he performs this season. I don't think Stanford's going to be in the Final Four, but every year they're a good team. So I'm really interested in that. I'm far more interested in that than Denver, Arizona, spring, fall, winter, summer. Doesn't matter. If it's not football between September 10th and the first week of February, I just don't care. I don't care. And if you're going to sit there and watch week 4 preseason football, you need to go on a date. That's it. All right, I've got some baseball stuff on the other side. Tim Tebow's working out today. Pedro's out there. That's on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have our Fox Sports Arizona TV show tonight, presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate their support. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We have 14 airings over the next 2 days. I say like 17 airings over 3 days. It's they're really supportive and like the content a great deal. So that will be tonight, starting at 5 o'clock. And then after the Diamondbacks-Giants game. Diamondbacks-Giants tonight, you have Greinke and Cueto. Would be really nice if this was two teams separated by, like, I don't know, a game. There was a pennant race. Greinke, Cueto. Who wouldn't want to have that, huh? That's terrific. That'll be tonight. Tim Tebow is working out as we speak in L.A., and you may think, well, who cares about Tim Tebow? Let me tell you this on Tebow. Pedro's out there. Pedro will be with us tomorrow. Pedro Gomez. Every week we talk baseball with him. ESPN's insider. CAA, the agency that is representing Tim Tebow, is handing out items to the media that list things like Tebow at 6'3", 255, with 7.3% body fat. We have some pictures of him. This is high school Tim Tebow, right, Eric?
High school days.
So this is not the 255 Tim Tebow, but man, that's gigantic. 6'3", 255. He's already been pursued by a team down in Venezuela to play. Is that a PR thing? Sure it is. Of course it is. It's worldwide. It's like having Ryan Lochte in a dance outfit. We'll throw him on television and people watch in gobs because it's Ryan Lochte who said today everything was blown out of proportion. Of course it was. You only lied to a third world country, ran off from your teammates. Of course it was all blown out of proportion. Of course it was.
As soon as the story came out a couple weeks ago that Tebow would pursue baseball,
yeah.
The Yard Goats, remember there's a minor league team
Mike
back
Benjamin
east.
Plays for them.
Yeah, like the Hartford Yard Goats
yep.
or something.
Benji from Basha High and ASU.
Immediately said, we're going to offer you a contract, and we have your uniform all made up there with the Tebow on the back. Come play for us.
We don't care if you have to be in a wheelchair. We just want you to come play.
Smart PR.
We don't care if you swing and miss with a big old tennis racket. Doesn't matter to us. Just please, please, please come out to our minor league ballpark.
Are the Birmingham Barons still in existence?
I think they are. That was Jordan's team,
yeah,
right?
They could go 2.0 and mega athlete stars Michael Jordan and Tim Tebow.
So when Jordan had his first game, were you with me when he did this?
No, that was in college. That was before my time.
So I went to, this was at KTAR, went over to management and I said, hey, so this minor league game, Jordan's going to do it. Let's do the broadcast of the game. So I did the play-by-play. My color guy was Mark Grant, who's, of course, been with the Padres for all these years.
This is when he was in the Fall League, correct?
Fall League, yes.
Scottsdale Scorpions? Something like that?
I might have been.
Yeah, not important. I think that's what it was.
But it was, we went out to Tempe Diablo Stadium. And Jordan comes walking through the batting cage. You know, I was expecting it to be a scene from, what was the movie that Jordan was in with Bugs Bunny? Why am I Space Jam? I was expecting it to be like Space Jam. You know, the helicopter comes and lands on the field.
I had a brain fart there too.
I did too. Space Jam, you know, the helicopter lands and MJ comes out. I believe I can fly and all. That's what I was expecting. Instead, he kind of bumps through the batting cages at Tempe Diablo, goes out on the field, swings and hits butterflies and flies and gnats and anything other than a baseball. And that was the end of the night. But it was a lot of fun to be out there nonetheless. So. I don't know where that story was going, but
it's okay. That's hey, you know what? We're all about storytelling.
So. We love storytelling. Who doesn't? That's our show for today. So we're going to get back at it.
What a smooth transition that was! Wow.
That's our show for today. I'm going to go send an email to Eric about his vacation schedule. Now it's all been canceled, and then he won't let me go. We have our TV show. We just have a lot of shows. All right, so that's the way it works. We're back at it tomorrow. We do our thing every day at 10 a.m. right here on sports360az.com and AZ Central. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. In our TV show tonight, Brad Sussmatz, Football AZ. Ty Detmer is going to be with us. Jerome Sowers via Skype. Michael Fabiano, the interview you saw there. We'll take some of that. Some things from Fitz's Supper Club last night. John Sally was out there. That's pretty cool. And Devin Booker. We'll have that all on tonight's show. Eric is the producer. Jared gets it done. He's the chairman of the board. I'm Brad Sussmatz. Have a great day.